Hey everybody, welcome, welcome. Today we're going to take a look at the gold-silver ratio once again, but today from the perspective of market capitalization. All right, so at the risk of beating a dead horse here, we're going to look at the gold-silver ratio once again, but this time from the perspective of total market capitalization of the gold and silver industries, of the value of all the ounces multiplied by the market price. And we're going to look at that ratio of gold to silver. So here's the simple price multiple. This we've talked about in prior videos multiple times. We've drawn trend lines. We've seen that as well, always through the eyes of the silver bugs here. Silver is becoming quite less valuable in terms of gold. Again, this multiple, this line here, if it's higher, gold is worth much more in terms of silver. If it's lower, silver is worth much more in terms of gold. So the silver bugs look at this and they say, hey, there's got to be a correction. This has to go back to the days of Isaac Newton when it was 15 to 1 or even before, centuries before. You know, when the Spanish were discovering Latin American silver here, it was like 10 to 1. Before silver got devalued a little bit more because of those discoveries, silver coming back to Europe, it's got to compress. Why it has to compress, they don't really give us an answer, but it has to do it. Indeed, it did go back to historical ratios here once in 1918, again in 1968, which is the same time the U.S. started to unload a lot of its silver and not mint any currency from silver anymore. And again here, around the times, this is an annual chart. This, you know, you would have seen this a little bit more in monthly frequency, but 1978, just before the Hunt brothers were trying to corner the market as well, silver was pretty high in terms of gold at this point, screaming up towards $50 an ounce, while gold was screaming up towards $850 an ounce. At this point, silver was quite high in terms of gold. So they say that this needs to compress. Well, we looked at the trend lines in prior videos. Definitely do check those out to see why you should be cautious of those claims. We looked at the gold-silver ratio in terms of the mining or the ounce multiple, the mining multiple of all time ounces of gold mined versus all time ounces of silver. And in this particular calculation, it's switched. Silver is actually in the numerator because there's more ounces of silver mined per ounce of gold. Where there used to be, again, back in the Latin American discoveries, 12, 13x, got to the days of Isaac Newton. It was over 15x, it was 18x. Just before the California Gold Rush, 22x. 22 ounces of silver had been mined throughout humanity per 1 ounce of gold. So that is not actually too good for silver from that perspective, because, you know, from the perspective of scarcity, you would assume that more ounces per 1 ounce of gold over time would signal less scarcity. And indeed, that's what was happening from the price multiple and from this multiple. It's not looking good for silver from that perspective. And then here, interestingly, from the California Gold Rush, this ratio, let's even take the price multiple off, this ratio starts to fall drastically. Remember, we talked about this in our last video. It starts to fall drastically, drastically. So this is actually better for silver from this perspective. We get all the way to year end 2022, the multiple is about 8.8x. It means there is only 8.8 ounces of silver mined throughout, this is a cumulative figure, so throughout humanity, only 8.8 ounces of silver per 1 ounce of gold. That's the lowest it's ever been. So theoretically, that's like the best. That's the best that silver has ever looked, right? Well, if we're going to say that the price multiple needs to compress back to 15, well, then this surely, we should be fair and say this should need to expand back to 15. And why would it need to do that? Well, because that's the historical ratio, right? Around, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15x. So if this were to expand, again, ceteris paribus, that would not look good for silver. You have a multiple that's 8.8x. All of a sudden, we're going to go back to the historical multiple there. you would actually need more ounces of silver per ounce of gold in ceteris paribus. That should mean that the price rises. You have an increase in supply, nothing changes in demand. That would not look too good for the silver price if this ratio went back to the historical norm. So again, you have to look at all these multiples to get the full picture. And then that takes us to what we're going to talk about today, the gold-silver ratio based on market capitalization. And that's basically if you take the prior two multiples and put them together. So the first multiple was price per ounce, how valuable is gold in terms of silver. The second one is mining, how many ounces have been mined of silver relative to gold. So you keep the multiple as a kind of a similar figure. And then this one is, let's multiply a fiat price. Let's slap a fiat price. In this case, it's going to be dollars. On the all-time cumulative ounces mined. And let's divide the gold capitalization by the silver capitalization and see what we get in terms of a multiple. So let's take the ounce multiple off. This is what we have. Now, this is quite interesting. You might not have expected this, but we are at an all-time high again. So this is in line with the silver bug thesis that gold is too high. It's too high compared to historical norms. It should need to compress. It should need to go back to historical norms, to historical values of around what number? That's the question. Well, it's not 15x here. What is it in these early centuries? 0.8x, even 0.6x at certain times. This is the gold capitalization divided by the silver capitalization, and it's less than one during the first 350 years of this chart. What does that mean? It means that silver in totality, according to fiat values, was valued more than the entire gold industry. You might have not expected that. And for your info, in case you're curious, of course, we don't have dollar per ounce figures here, although I do have an international dollar, which is a historic assumed dollar exchange rate for various things, gold, oil, whatnot, in the past, silver as well, other goods. Regardless, you would roughly calculate this gold-silver ratio if you looked at, say, the gold price per sterling, British pound sterling at the time, or the Portuguese real, or the Spanish peseta de ocho, or the Swedish kroner, currencies that were around during this time. Obviously, the dollar didn't start in its current form really until after the Civil War, the greenback. But nonetheless, if you're curious, that's how you find these multiples from back in the day. And as I've said before, Nick Laird, Australian gentleman who has had a keen interest in the gold and silver industries for decades, he put these numbers together, and I'll continue to refine them and add to them, but really, really grateful for what he's done, because this is an interesting view. This is an interesting view. And of course, why would it be? Why would it be that the silver market is more valuable than the gold market during these centuries? Well, notwithstanding the fact that I don't like to answer why questions too much on this channel, we can assume that it's because all of the nations during this time, the British pound sterling, sterling silver especially, even before 1500, the Tower pound, they were silver-based currencies. So the silver was the transactional currency here of many, many countries, around the world, in Asia and Latin America. Of course, the Spanish discoveries brought more silver to Europe, which did hurt the silver price relative to gold. But as far as the capitalization, actually it was relatively constant, and silver was more valuable than gold all the way until the California Gold Rush. We see clearly two market structures here in the world. One which is, you know, a fixed silver standard, then moving to a gold standard in the late 1800s. Remember, the gold standard started in the late 1800s, 1870s, and really only lasted for 40-some years until World War I. And then it fell apart, and the New World Order emerged after World War I. But the market structure for centuries before actually valued all the silver ounces in the world in totality about 20% more, 20 to 30% more than all the gold ounces. So that's pretty interesting. Nonetheless, back to our view that somehow this should compress for some reason, how could we look at the trend of this new market structure, which new is a relative term there? Clearly it's changed from the California gold rush, from North American involvement in the gold market. Let's draw a trend line. Here we go. Exponential regression. Again, see prior videos for analysis of R squareds and whatnot. 80% is pretty good. It's a pretty good fit. It's not great, but it's not bad either. 80% exponential regression of the gold-silver multiple based on market capitalization. Slap a fiat value, basically, on all the ounces mined throughout humanity. You get this trend line. And then we want to see from here, once you do trend lines, the biggest, most important thing we can do with trend lines is we can draw bands of standard deviation, of percentiles, and see how rare an event actually is. So let's even skip the one sigma today. Let's just go straight to two sigma. I'm going to draw two sigma down, two sigma up. And there we go. And let's even zoom into this, to this modern era here. Here we have it from a little bit before the Civil War, North American gold rush to today. We have percentile bands drawn around an exponential regression of the gold-silver ratio for the entire capitalization of the gold market divided by the entire capitalization of the silver market. And what does it mean? If the multiple falls within these red bands, it means you're looking at a 95% event. You're looking at something that is very, very common. 95% of the time, the data is going to fall within these red bands. And therefore, anything that's outside of these red bands is a two sigma event. It's an outside 95% observation, or it's a 5% event. It's a very, very rare event. It's actually, the way I do it is 2.5% on the top, 2.5% on the bottom. So very, very rare to see anything outside of these bands. And again, just to remind you, a higher multiple here means gold is more valuable in terms of silver. A lower multiple means silver is more valuable in terms of gold. So again, let's just take a look. We have here at the end of World War I, a two sigma down move would be 1.1x of the multiple. And where was the multiple? 1.1x. So it kissed a two sigma move here to the downside. Actually, when the Great Depression had started, it kissed it to the upside. It meant gold was much more valuable in terms of silver at this point, 1931. Two sigma moved to the upside, 5.8x. What was the multiple? 6x. Went down for a little bit, and then during the Great Depression, later years, started World War II, for a couple years, gold was much more valuable in terms of silver, all-time capitalization. And then we see that it was back in trend, in the range. And then it wasn't until the 60s, which again, interestingly, this is when the United States unloaded their silver. No more currency was minted with silver, no more loose change. That's called junk silver. If you want to still buy it, go for it. 90% plus silver coins. Many other nations as well kind of came off silver during these decades to where all of our coins are base metals now, copper, nickel, alloys. And then we have... just once more, it kissed it to the downside here. Again, this was the Hunt Brothers pump here. Of course, gold also rose during this time. So gold in 1980 was about $850 an ounce for 2 seconds. Silver was approaching $50 an ounce. So the multiple actually fell back. But in 1978, on a year-end frequency, which is what we're looking at here, we did hit a two sigma move to the downside. And then we went back into the trend, the range, to where we are today, 8.8x. So to summarize, in the last 150 years of this 80% R squared exponential trend of the gold silver ratio based on capitalization, it has made a two sigma move once, let's say twice here, because this is all in the span of 10 years, twice, three times, four times. Let's even add that back. So five times. So from here, you need to ask yourself, are the silver bugs going to be correct? Is silver poised for a breakout move, which is going to take the silver ratio. Let's say it even takes it back to the historical ratio of one, roughly one, okay? Well, that's going to be an 8x move, because the ratio as we see here, let's even take off all the, let's go back to the multiple only, remember? 8.5x. If we go back to a ratio of one where the entire silver market is worth the entire gold market, that's an 8.5x move in the silver price. Is that going to happen? Well, let's put the trend line back on. And we only need to concern ourselves with the downside, a two sigma down move at this point, because that's what needs to happen. And it needs to obviously be sustained there. What do the trend lines tell us about that? Pretty rare. Three times in the last 150 years it has been at or below a two sigma move. I don't see anything on the horizon that would tell us that the entire market capitalization of gold, which is 8.8 times higher than the entire market capitalization of silver, would need to compress and be equal. In other words, silver needs to rise by 8.8x. I don't see anything that justifies that. Certainly anything can happen in markets. Anything can happen. Caveat emptor, be careful out there. But again, a word of caution. If you look at the trend lines, you see that this structure here in the last 150 years, 170 years, way different than the market structure when we were in a world of pegged fiat currencies to precious metals, pegged to silver, then pegged to gold. Silver was even more valuable than gold for 350 years, but those days are completely over in the market. So whether it's too high, too low, certainly it can swing. I mean, it can swing, and even if it goes down to a two sigma down move, all right, that's still a 4x move in price, 4x move. So $25 an ounce, you know, silver at $100 an ounce, yeah, it certainly could happen, But will it be sustained? Does it reflect the market structure of the last 150 years? Will it not be like it was these three times in the past where it was very brief, at most a couple years, hitting this low ratio of, you know, 1-3x, meaning gold is only 3-2 or at parity with silver in totality. As far as the entire industry goes, we're pretty safe to say that that would be very, very rare. So again, be careful out there. Caveat emptor. This is definitely not financial advice. Absolutely be careful when you hear anybody saying that gold, silver, or even Bitcoin is going to the moon. Just be careful. Thanks for watching.